This episode of AetherStream is brought to you by Aetherflow Media. We would not be able to create content like this without the support of our amazing patrons.
Welcome back to AetherStream, guys. Joining me today is Crotoan, Dylan, Enki, and Tilp.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
So last time we were here, we were talking about, and this was before our little hiatus, we were talking about our little adventure with Rajit and becoming the most wanted person in Norvant.
The angriest old man in the whole verse, I swear to God.
Yeah. When he says, man, get off my lawn, he means it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, he is probably the person I could see having the sign that says, here he lies, stiff and sore, the last dang betrayer of Umor who stepped on my lawn.
Oh my god.
Tell me that you actually thought up that like off the top of your head.
I did.
I am very proud.
He just 10 elm punches you off his lawn. Like, he doesn't even need a shotgun like most old people. He just fucking 10 elm punches you. Like, oh, you're god. Dead. Your heart explodes.
Yeah. So now we're over in Ilmeg, and like my first impression of Ilmeg was, oh, I can't even see a foot in front of my face.
Right. You are blind the whole time. Can't. I had to change my character's hair color just to be able to see her because she's all white. Like, she's, I had to change her hair color because she was hurting my eyes. I had to wear sunglasses to play it.
So Enki isn't a sin eater anymore. Got it.
The best, actually, description of how you feel when you first step in Ilmeg was one thing that I heard on my first day when I stepped in there. I heard somebody in shout chat yell, it's like, now I know what it was like to be, Louis Soir. Wind getting a mega flare to the face from Bahamut.
Right, oh, wow. Yes. And it's not even too soon. It's not even too soon.
Wow.
And I was like, yeah, no, he's not wrong.
He is not wrong.
No, definitely not. It's like, oh, I can't see.
Oh, and then you get introduced to the Fae, and I'm just like, you know what? You guys are still just as bad in this game as you are in like regular Irish folklore. Like, you are still trash.
You're right? All the laughing and tricks and
laughing. Playing games.
Yep.
They know who they are. They're comfortable with who they are. They're living their best lives, making your life hell.
Miserable.
I know, it was Thancred who kept coming through here. And he's just like, oh, just don't play games with them.
You don't play games. And then you get that one fairy that just slows you anyway. And I'm like, you know what? This is the last time I listen to Thancred. I'm just going to...
I was curious about that, if that was just intentionally or if like, oh... I'm just dreary.
And... yeah, on that last one, you get hit with a slow anyway, and I'm just like...
Yeah, the fairy's like, well, that's sufficient. I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to use it, because I think you don't say anything, but they're like, silence is an answer, and then that's when they mess with you. It's like...
That slow is painful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I wonder if we used Urianje's name, like, right as we walked in, if we would have been okay, or if they would have still been dick to us.
Hey, yo, Urianje is my bro. Don't screw with me, please. I think they would have done it just for giggles, because that's what fairies are like. And yeah, they're like,
that is true.
Also, can we talk about how they turn people into bushes? Like, I want you to stay here forever. I'm going to turn you into a really sweet topiary.
See, I didn't know that until after the forces started to come in. They're just like, oh, or not the forces, before the forces, like, you would be doing some of the side quests, and one of them is just like, oh, hey, yeah, that's a real person. And you're like,
yeah, that's a person, by the way. And I'm like, that's kind of messed up. Okay. I'd really like to leave now.
Yeah.
See,
oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, I was actually a little bit confused. Like, I got the fact that the topiaries used to be people, but the thing that really bothered me about that is that all the topiaries reminded me of Angry Bird.
Oh, okay, nice. No, you are not wrong. You are absolutely not wrong. And now I can't get that out of my
birds.
Head.
Yeah, because I was like, we need pig topiaries now too.
I'm not going to get that out of my head now. Like, nope. It's ruined for me. The topiaries are ruined. More ruined than they already were, knowing they were like people.
And it's like, I didn't catch that when I was doing the initial quest, and then I did the beaver quest.
Ah, yes! Yes!
I'm still puzzled, and I'm trying to go through on an alt character just to figure out like what exactly happened. Cause like you go to over there. Oh, there's another beaver. Oh, it says this like as if it was the person that was there that was helping you. And it's like,
I don't know who is turning them into beavers, but that's some good stuff. I like that. I'm happy with that. That is a good resolution for me. Just turn all of these nasty little bugs into beavers. That would make me so happy because they're cuter that way.
And like, I'm hoping with patch 5.1 that's coming up, that since we're getting, I think we're supposed to be getting fairies with the...
Yeah, the Pixie Beast trip.
Yep. I'm kind of hoping that it'll kind of expand on that as to why, but maybe not in full detail.
Why they got turned into beavers?
Yeah, or why it's not okay to go over there.
Yeah, I want to know why that's forbidden. Like, why can't they do that? I'm okay to do that, obviously, but they're not. No. Yeah, fine by me.
It's a mystery unsolved at the moment.
Yeah, kind of worried that the Pixie Beast tribe is going to be actually like outdo the Moogles as far as the most annoying beast tribe.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
go and pick up all these things for me. And it's just like, oh, we can't use piss off Koopo this time around. So what phrase are they? What phrase are they going to give us? You got to give me something like that. You got to let me. Oh. You got to let me like push back a little bit.
I wonder if is it Fa'ul?
Fa'ul, yes.
I wonder if she's going to play a part of it.
Oh, God. She's just going to be mad at us all the time.
What? You're not helping my fellow fairies? My
little
sprout.
She's just mad. Everything we do upsets her. And I'm like, please, mom, don't be mad at me, Fay mom.
Please enjoy these three repeatable quests, my sapling.
But like when you start moving on with the story, they're like, oh, you're part of Urianje's party. Okay. So we go over and meet Urianje, and then that's when we kind of get our lesson with the elementals being completely backwards from the source. I was about to call it the first.
We leave the twins behind, though. They get to stay behind and play with the fairies, but we get to go off and do cool stuff. And we get all that cool lore.
Yeah. And like, I'm curious on what your thoughts on that. Croton.
It surprised me really. Didn't expect that at all. I don't think a lot of people didn't expect it. I know Ethy's made an entire video on the subject as well because it surprised him just the same. You know, because most of us, I believe at the time, at least I've already was making the assumption that aspect had something was light and Umbral was darkness. So we had made that assumption for years now. And then, you know, Urianje is like, oh yeah, we got it wrong. It's like, whoa, what?
Prepared to have your mind blown.
I still don't know if we got it wrong. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I mean, maybe it's just backwards on the first, and we have it a certain way, and they have it a certain other way because I don't know, they're a shard, I guess, and they're not as cool as the source or whatever.
They described it as so the first had focused on how the powers were generated, and the source is focused on what the effects are. So, which created those specific designations? Because you know, they said the way the first every time Urianje asked anyone about it, they would describe, you know, darkness is the manifestation of all colors combining into one, and light is the manifestation of a single color that's perfect in all, you know, aspects. So, you know, they referred it to the concept of color and describing what was being produced rather than just, you know, what was it affecting and around the people, you know, knowing that Umbral slows things down and Astral made things speed up or go at a faster rate. So it's really interesting. It's like the different focus or different perspective is what created the different names. And therefore you got your Astral Darkness and Umbral Light. But yeah, I guess they saw it differently. And that's what made them have different names and different lead us astray in a sort of way.
I guess because darkness is more important on this shard than light is, because light kind of sucks.
Oh, yeah, true. Well, actually, and then one thing that's really interesting, like, I mean, two thoughts I had with that is, first of all, like, you know, Anki, you brought up the fact that the shard is a reflection. So if you think about it, that reflections, whenever you look in a mirror, I mean, or if you think about like ambulances, on the front of the ambulance, it's spelled backwards. Because when something's reflected, it kind of is the inverse. So in some ways, maybe it's intentional that the way that people view elements on the first is kind of inverted from how we view it from the source. Because again, it's a reflection, like a mirror. The other part of that is also there's two ways of different looking at pigments or two ways of looking at color. There's light, which, you know, in light terms, white light is the presence of all colors at the same time.
Right. Where drove me nuts.
Darkness is the absence of color at all times. Whereas with pigments, though, as opposed to light, pigments actually reflect color. So darkness, black, is actually the presence of all colors at the same time, whereas white is the absence of color. So it's really, I thought it was kind of interesting in that term as far as like how light or how color works, as far as the different philosophies or the different, mythology or methodology. Thank you. The different methodology as far as how it's looked at.
Oh, speaking my language, like the ex-art student in me is just like, oh, baby, yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was kind of me, too. It's like, this reminds me of art school.
Oh, man. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, too. I've been told there's more references to, I know you were talking about it the last time there, Dylan. I can't think of it now. Nordic, I think it was.
What's the?
Oh, just other references to certain cultures and histories.
Oh, Nordic?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Nordic. Okay.
So, sorry, a little segue there.
As someone who lived in a Scandinavian country for like over a decade, I should know that shit. And I'm just sat here drawing a blank and I'm like, wow, you suck right now.
Yeah, no. Actually, what would be really cool is if at some point, like in the coming patches at Ilmig, we actually get to meet a version of the guy who becomes Odin, but before he becomes Odin, you know?
Yeah, because cool. Odin's a funny duck, isn't he? He's kind of like, he's kind of uber, isn't he, Croa?
Odin.
Odin's a special baby. It's just like, where did you come from? Like, we know you're a sword, but, or whoever holds the sword becomes Odin or whatever. I think that's the way it goes. The basic bitch version is like whoever holds Zantetskin is Odin.
Yeah. Please look forward to my next article as I attempt to describe the whole concept, the new story we got behind Odin in previous patches. But it's stressful. Anyway.
Yep.
Okay. So we meet Urianjay and then we go to that dungeon, don't we? That dungeon.
Yep. We gotta get those get into Lee Grah.
Yeah, we come back to the twins and that's when we were informed that Rajit and the good old buddies of ours are kind of forging their way through.
They always do.
Yeah, and it's just like, oh well, we kind of got out of the boiling water and into the frying pan now.
Yeah, like out of the frying pan and we just threw ourselves right back into the fire. And it's like, you know what, Ranjit, are you obsessed with me? Because I feel like you are. And I feel like I need to get a restraining order right now. Like, no, all tea, all shade. Like, he's obsessed with us. Like, he really is. Like, we don't even super have Minfilia, like, on our side at that point. I mean, she's just kind of there. But, you know, he's kind of doggedly pursuing us. So I'm just like, okay, we just painted a really shitty picture, okay? Like, please don't. Please leave.
If it's because like he sees us as a formidable foe that he has yet to actually see the full potential, and you know, someone who was formed and molded by war and battle, just, you know, looking for that next fight,
like our good old buddy Xenos.
Yes. Except not as like licking the sore, like, oh, this makes me happy.
Like, this gives me a murder boner, thank you very much.
I don't know if it would be that so much as, I think, like, what we talked about in a previous episode, is here he had for so long been raising and training every Minfilia until eventually he's like, you know, this is just getting us nowhere. It's the whole definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, right, yes.
Results. So all of a sudden he just kind of is like, you know, screw this isn't working. And that's one of the reasons why he throws in with Vothri. So here all of a sudden these young upstarts come along, kind of going back to the old man on his lawn with his chair and his cane. These young upstarts come along, take Minfilia, and are actually doing the thing that he tried for decades. Not just for a little while, but for decades to do. And they're actually making progress.
So he's jealous of us and our ability, and also he's jealous of the fact that we're probably better dressed than he is.
Well, yeah, in that part. But also at the same time, you know, finally he comes to terms with the fact that, you know, it's never going to change. We're all going to die. And then actually helping to create this world where people can have some semblance of happiness with that, or, you know, for lack of a better word, happiness, I guess. But then all of a sudden, you know, here are these people come up and they actually threaten that.
He's just resigned himself.
very nihilistic. He becomes essentially just like, there's no point to it anymore. Let's just enjoy what we have, kind of thing. And I think it's more just like, in his sense, you know, like you said, how he trained all the previous Minfilias, like every single one of them, and saw them all to their demise. He was just broken in a way.
Yeah.
from having to deal with that.
Well, and
wow, you're making me feel bad for him. Stop.
And your group actually puts Minfilia at risk. So, you know, to him, it's kind of one of those things that I remember from some show or book where they said, it's like, somebody, you're always somebody else's bad guy. Mm-hmm. Even if you think you're the good guy, you're always somebody else's bad guy. So,
and we are a collective of trash parents that would almost put, who's the trashiest dad in this game? Like, I'm pretty sure Midgard's almost kind of a trash dad. Like,
Nidhogg, maybe.
Oh, no. Yeah, Nidhogg is a pretty trash dad. We put him to shame. Like, we should not be taking care of a young child. Like, I'm pretty sure the Warrior Light should not be taking care of a young child. So I agree with Ranjit on that point. Like, we're not the best babysitters. We are very budget, but, you know.
We're like Zach Galifianakis at the beginning of, like, Hangover.
Oh, my God, yes. That is us. That is the Warrior of Light. We've got us strapped into our little, like... What is that thing called? I do not have children. I have no idea what's like. Yeah, like the carrier. Like the little thing that's strapped across your chest. We just have Minfilia there. And it's just like, you know what? We can do this. It's fine. We just have to feed and water it.
You just see some artists just like taking that image that we just painted in their mind. Like, done.
Yeah, like BRB. I'm going to go get my tablet.
So that's when we decided that we're just going to hurry up and go get the rest of the blessings of the pixies, which I know it's not blessings. It's actually just the actual artifacts.
Yeah, like the items.
Open the gates.
Yeah, they
it's
have
an
different
outfit.
Items.
Keys. It's an outfit.
It is. We're sent on a fabulous quest to get a fabulous outfit.
Mm-hmm. In true Final Fantasy XIV style, fashion is the true endgame.
Oh, right? Yeah, it is.
How did we feel about the dungeon? Like, let's be truthful here. How do we feel about it?
I loved it. That first boss, though, like the first time, actually, even still, every time through, it made me want to smack kittens. That, like, the geyser mechanic.
That's harsh, girl, but I agree.
It really made me mad.
You gotta figure out the pattern, and oh my god, my first run through of that dungeon, I got hit by every single one. I almost died. I'm glad I had more HP than I thought I did. I'm pretty sure I got down to one at one point, because I was just like, oh my god, how can I be this stupid? There's gotta be some pattern here that I'm just not, I'm not picking up because it's too shiny.
The last boss, however, was my favorite. I love that boss. That is so much fun.
That is a really, really good boss. Also, in the trust version of the dungeon, if you take, what is it? If you take Alizé and you take Uriange, it's just hilarious because they just cheese it. And I'm like, hey, I'm a red mage. Why can't I do that? Or why can't I reverse rescue myself over there, Uriange? Excuse me, but why is that not a skill that is available to me, you know? Like, rescue would be so good.
There's a lot of recordings of people attempting it and falling to the hole. It's pretty funny.
Yes, I know. I was one of those people. I didn't record it. But as a red mage, I was like, hey, anything they can do, I can do better, right? And
nope.
Of course, Korakorn. And I'm like, well, I'm dead. And now we have to restart this whole segment over. I'm sorry, guys. Oh, wait, you're NPCs. I don't have to apologize to you. It's fine.
Yeah, that was... I haven't done it with the trust yet. I'm kind of kicking myself for not doing it with the trust during the main story.
Oh, it's so funny.
It's really good.
But it was one of those things where it's like, you guys, I'm just ready to move on. I'm trying to get this done so I can record a podcast, shift the eyes. And
right?
I just need to get up to Tintania. And they're like, oh, okay. Well, we're not going to tell you anything about the dungeon. It's like, okay. So we're going through. It's like all magical.
Beautiful flowers everywhere, all of this, like, you know, color shifting, and like the environment around you shifts, and there's dryads everywhere, and it's like, wow, this is a magical Disney adventure right here. And then the fairies start fucking with you and just like blow that out of the water, and it's like,
oh,
okay.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, well, cool, we're at this little puzzle thing. Okay, just get to the edge, and I go to jump, and just like you guys, I haven't recorded it, but I jump, I hit the guy, and then I fall into the hole.
Nice.
Because Dragoon.
Because it's trying to put me back to where I was, but there's a gap there. So it's like, oh, there's no barriers. Oh, there's no ground. Bye-bye.
It just wags its finger at you like, mm-mm, I can't let you do that, Tilp.
My my party just kind of sat there, looked at me, looked back at the boss, looked back at me. Yeah, we don't know that guy.
We don't know her. We don't know him.
See, I was playing the healer for that, so I could not afford to fall. So I was like the person who was slow walking all over that thing. So, you know, I'll get there eventually. They can't let me die.
But I went through it as a DPS like the first time around, I think, and I was like, oh, I gotta hit the thing. So if I mean the first time I did it as a trust, obviously I tried to go across the gap and that did not end well, as I described. The second time around, I was like, I'm not gonna let these NPCs beat me out across this thing. I'm just gonna go really, really fast. And that didn't work out well either. Turns out I'm not very good at cornering.
Yep. So on the bright side, got past the dungeons, like, oh yay. Oh no. And then they try to kill you. It's like, wow.
Oh, they tried something. They tried.
Yeah, they tried, quote unquote, to drown you. Because they're like, oh, you're very fun. We love you. Join us.
It's like, okay, but you forget. I got the blessings of the Kojin, so get the hell out of my face.
Well, yeah, like...
Which was a really nice nod, because Kojin don't exist on the first, so I don't think they had any awareness that you even had the ability to breathe underwater. So.
No, but the blessing still persists, and I'm like, thank God it did.
Yep. So like, Alphino, Orion J, they're like, oh, we thought we might have lost you to the fairies.
We don't. We don't want to forget that Ardbert said really sad things underwater. Yep. That was a really emotional moving scene. You know,
oh my God.
Yeah, because you were underwater, and it kind of gave you an opportunity to see Vobert, which if anyone
had he talks to see, about it.
Yeah, Vobert was the city that was there prior to the occupation of the fairies, prior to the destruction of the place by the Sin Eaters,
and the results of the Sin Eaters coming in and wiping the town's population. That's what left it a ghost town and allowing the Fae to move in. And he's talking about how he remembered sharing food by the fire and how he did stuff with them as an adventurer. And you know, he drops that question that you hear also in the trailer, you know, everything we did, what was it for? What was it all for? And he just gets you thinking about, you know, the cause of the fight, because, you know, all that work he did has gone to nothing. You know, that was 100 years ago. So he's really upset about it. And it's really interesting how it like gets you thinking about how, you know, the cause of the fight, the reason, everything you're doing. And, you know, he's just super grateful that you had the blessing of Kojin, because, you know, he was worried that you died too. And he's like, I don't know how you learned to breathe underwater, but I'm glad you did, because you would have died. There was nothing anyone could have saved you. And he, you know, he's like, first thing to learn when dealing with the flaw, you don't deal with the flaw. He's like, I don't know why you did that. That was dumb.
Like, it was such a beautiful scene, wasn't it, though? It's just like he paints such an amazing picture of this, his home. Mm-hmm. He paints it for you, and he paints it so mm-hmm. vividly, like the warmth of the fire, sharing food, sharing stories around it. And it's like, you know, I would have loved to have seen that. I genuinely mm-hmm. would have. I would have loved it if they'd left Vobert in, but of course they haven't, so we're going to have that. But Arbert does such a good job painting it that the sting is kind of lessened for me. Like, yeah, we can't see it. Yeah, we can't be there. Yes, this hustling, bustling civilization is gone, but he's painted a good enough picture that we can kind of relive it through him.
So then, you know, after we've dealt with the second Fae folk, it's just like, how I'm kind of nervous about these next set, because these ones were just downright nasty. The first ones just played pranks on me. How bad could the third set be?
Yep.
So,
oh, yes, 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 yes. Oh my God, the Numu are just so, they are good boys. Anybody who says otherwise, they can fight me.
Yep. If anything, if you have a chance to spend your nut sacks, the currency...
Girl, stop!
Oh my God.
Okay, fine.
Oh my God.
What is a better term for this so I can redo that?
I mean,
there is no better way to say it.
This isn't your fault. This is all Koji Fox's fault.
This is I blame Koji Fox.
Damn you, Koji!
Oh my God.
Now I'm embarrassed to finish talking.
Give all your nuts.
So if you want to like spend your nut sacks on something.
I swear we're mature.
I think it's when
it.
They tried sacks of nuts, but it didn't work. It like it really did not work.
Even when you put it that way, it's still bad.
Yeah, it is. Please get the Numu, because it is just adorable minion, and it just makes you makes you melt on the inside.
The opening scene with Uriange basically using terms like sit and stay, and they're just like, how dare you use the words of power? And it's just like, oh my god, I love you little buggers already. The puppies.
The words of power. They just want to help. They just want to help. They want to have a purpose. And it's like, please give me a reason to help you.
They want to be good boys.
Very, very good boy. Very good boy energy.
Whatever that, like, you get Beast Tribe stuff for, with the Numo, I hope one of the items that you can buy is, like, a stick that you can throw. Because all the Numo just go running.
One thing I noticed about the Numo, and this is like a little bit of a tangent. They have any of you seen the Dark Crystal?
Yeah,
yes. They remind me of the Mystics.
The Mystics. They're like the guys slash podling to me.
Yeah, like the Mystics cross with the podlings. It's that same energy. And considering the guy who illustrate or who made the designs for those guys up is a guy who illustrates primarily Fae books. Like, I was just like, that looks like a little subtle nod to me. I don't know, but it looks like it.
Yeah. It might be. I know the Numo originally come from Tactics universe. They're Evilesian. Because they were in War of the Lions, I believe. Was it that extended edition game? And so they borrowed that concept and put it into 14. But it might be, you know, the original idea might come from Dark Crystal or something like that. At least similar to it. I could see it.
When we get to the end of our review, I have a whole lot more to say about 14 and Dark Crystal. So much to say.
there is so much planned after we get done with the story that I don't even know if we're going to have it all done by the end of the year.
One thing I want to say right now is the Asians, I'm going to start calling them Skeksis.
Right. Oh my god. Okay, so
let's not get off topic.
Yep. No comment.
We do a bunch of quests with the Numu and all of them are good. I love them all. Yep. Like,
except for the ones across the valley, those ones are the bad ones.
Yeah, those kind of suck. Mm. They kind of suck. They are not good boys. They are bad boys. They're no biscuit for you.
But if you didn't get enough sweetness, then you get to go meet them tomorrow.
Oh my god. Okay. I did not expect this last set of Fae to actually be, yeah.
So it's really interesting, the unique aspect of it. They don't really identify as Fae so much as they were just given reprieve because of their magic and their intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
But, the whole concept. Amaro in general are just fantastic. I really love the fact they decided to introduce a new kind of like staple element of the world, you know, because we got used to chocobos, you know, everyone knows about chocobos, but then we use chocobos, but Maros are cooler, and then you're like, how so? And then you meet an entire civilization of them, you're like, oh, okay, yep.
And on top of that, they can actually talk.
Yep.
That's something I didn't expect. Like, I was like, oh, okay, there's these guys. Okay. First one I talk to doesn't really say anything. Then I talk to the one that the quest gives me. It's like, oh, well, you got to do this. And it's like, okay, I did this. And then all of a sudden it starts speaking to me. And it's like, you can talk. The ones back over in the Crystarium didn't talk. You can talk.
Well, so the funny thing is, so they describe the history. The Amaro are actually like remnants of the Ronkin Empire. You know, the first Amaro were bred from the Kama, and they were given the magic that was used to breed them is what gave them their ability of speech. But they have to live for a long time, which kind of brings in similar to the auspices from the Far East on the Source. You know, living for a long time gives you magical powers and the ability to speak.
Yeah, but, and of course, not all of them get that, though, do they? They kind of, it quickens in some and not in others.
It's a genetic, like, strain, I guess. Like, a certain percentage of the Amaro population retains that genetic ability to speak. And those are the ones that you encounter in Ilmeg, but not all of them can do so. It just, they have to live for a very long time just to see if that even happens. And then, you know, they have their own established culture, you know. They pick names based on things they like or things that were connected to their previous owners. You know, they really like people. They like helping people. It was a really fantastic concept. I really enjoyed the idea of an Amaro population.
Yep.
And just that connection to the Ronkin Empire and, like, everything.
Really, speaking really good. Of connections. Like, I wasn't expecting when he started talking about his previous owner and all adventures that they did. I was not expecting that to be Arbert.
I don't think anybody Arbert's, was.
Numa, right? Arbert's Amaro right there, just chilling.
And just...
The feeling that just... The power of it, like, the emotion behind it. You know, you already dealt with... You already dealt with Arbert, like, basically, you know, saying what was it all for. You know, he's frustrated being the Shade. And then you have his mount, who not only has now gained the ability to speak, is trying to tell you that Arbert was a good person. Despite what everyone says, everyone's saying that the Warrior Light was a villain, he knew him as a hero. He adventured with him as a hero. He saw the good in him. And it even brings to mention that the Amaro are described as being able to connect and understand the soul of a person. They can see the good in a person.
Yeah, because, you know, of course...
That soul connection.
His Amaro says, you know, you're just like him. Like, I can see you down at that level. You're just like him. And you're like, I thought you were him at first.
He's like, no, it can't be.
And but honestly, like, anything Arbert related, it... Even tangentially, emotional. Like, his Amaro is, it's going to kick you in the feels. Absolutely.
It hurt bad.
Even when he's not there, he's just going to kick you.
Like, we thought Heavensward was a roller coaster of emotions. We're not even halfway through the expansion period, and we're, like, on our fourth ride of this roller coaster of emotions.
Stop making me feel things, Square Enix.
That theme song they play, every time they bring Arbert in, they play that really sad version of From the Heavens, and you're just
stop! Stop making me sad!
It's like ingrained into our minds that once that song starts playing, everybody just bursts out in tears. It's like, why am I crying?
Yep.
I'm not crying, you're crying!
It's a horrible day for rain.
Right? I have allergies. Don't come for me. I have allergies, okay?
Who's cutting onions?
Yeah, somebody in here is peeling onions. It's fine.
But we're outside in the middle of nowhere. That guy's peeling onions. I can smell him.
Somebody in, like, the 5-mile radius is peeling onions. Come on.
Yeah, right? Like,
that's just when, like, you cut off to the side, you just see that one person. Onions.
So after we get the feels kicked out of us by the Amaro, it is time for us to move on. And we finally get to go up to this big, giant, beautiful castle that we've been staring at the entire time through the zone. Because I don't know about anybody else. Yeah. Anywhere I was like at, I was like, when are we getting to the castle? I want to get to the castle. When are we getting to the castle?
It's so extra, right? It's got the wings coming off the side. It's beautiful looking. Like, it kind of gave me, like, Amdapuri feels, like, a little bit.
It did, yeah. Yeah, it really did, because it had, like, the very, like, elegant arches, so.
Yeah, like the Sanctum of the Twelve kind of thing. Like, it was gorgeous.
It was very, very pretty. So we get up there, and finally we get our first trial.
First trial of the expansion.
I do have to say, prior to that vision when decided to talk to everyone simultaneously all at once in their minds and then jumped at the screen, that actually scared me.
Jump scare.
I was not, like, it just the way it was just really, like, unsettling. And then jumped at the screen, there's Titania's face, and I'm like, what did I do wrong? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And that was actually really interesting.
And you go into the trial, and it starts, like, playing what I call it, the creepy kid music.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
So, I have to put this
out.
I have to put this out. Hands down, Sirens. Hands down, like, just the emotion from Titania is like that of a crazy, like, kid inside of a adult.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like,
I think it's alluded to that the Fae are technically the spirits of lost children, so it makes sense. Like, it's kind of terrifying. Like, she is a child, or she has a child's mindset with all of this power. And she's got, like, that cutesy-wootsy, whimsical, childish music playing. And she's trying to kill you. She gonna kill you. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, the whole, what's that one phrase she says? Squish, squash, a crimson flower. She's laying it so bad. She turns your blood stain into a something whimsical, and I'm just like, that's gross. I'm like, I'm not happy
about
this.
Okay, lady.
And then you get to the ad phase, and then like you defeat all of them, and she just goes from like being all childish to like creepy, bitter's better, yep. And it's like, are we sure not fighting a witch?
Yeah, like, nice Shakespearean references all throughout that entire fight.
Oh, yeah.
God, yes. Yeah, Twelfth Night. Not
dream and...
It was Twelfth Night if it got rewritten by Stephen King, giving it like the Shining treatment.
Yeah, and Midsummer Night's
Dream.
That's
actually a really good comparison right there, I would have to say. Stephen King's version of Shakespeare right there.
that trial is hard though for first timers. I've been in a lot of groups that have wiped.
Like a couple times.
Because unless you have someone who is coordinating the group, who is calling which ads you need to be on and when, it is tough. And there is a DPS check. You gotta meet that. You can't be complacent, especially if you're in maybe suboptimal gear at that point.
Yep, like I went and helped Fish from our Aetherflow media team. And I can tell you right now, if you're a tank, please understand when someone tries to give you tips and not try to be the jerk. Someone gave this guy some tips and he completely ignored it and said, I'm a tank. I don't have to deal with this.
Grab the ads.
Yes, grab the ads. I ended up dying because when they went from the small to big, I can't think of the one that's up north, but I ended up getting aggro from him and I ended up dying. And then like it just became a cluster of death.
Yeah, same as a healer. Like if your tanks don't grab aggro real quick, those things will aggro on you. Especially as a healer or as top DPS, and you will just basically just not exist anymore. You will be a stain on the floor, as Titania foretold.
Yep. And like, as the fight is not horrible, if you know what you're doing or has somebody explaining, and you get through it, like you understand that she's been trapped in this castle for years. I didn't understand
I think it's a long time. I think it's hundreds of years.
Yeah.
It was basically at the point that a Light Warden had attacked the old Meg, so this is post fairy migration, pre the time period you walk in. Titania tried to fight the Light Warden, won the fight, but the ether from the Light Warden ended up taking over their body and then corrupting them to become the new Light Warden.
It's so sad because you wonder what
trapped in the castle.
You wonder what kind of ruler she was like before then. Like, if she was if she was elected their ruler, like, she had to be, you know, she probably was, like, a pretty decent fairy. Like, she was probably pretty good. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I'm just sad that we don't get to meet her.
But then here comes the catch-22. Like, when you defeat her, you are presented with the fact that you are now supposed to become the Fairy King.
The new Fairy King, yep.
And you're but like, you wait, can't. Wait, whoa, whoa, I just absorbed the light. I don't have to become the Fairy King. And they're like, well, you brought all the sacred items. You came into the castle. You put down the Fairy King. You're Fairy King now.
That's okay, though, because Fairy Mom is here to save us. She gonna take that one for the team.
Yeah,
it was actually kind of, I'm not gonna lie, that was a little, not strong emotion, but I did feel something from that you know, Feywul makes it very clear there's a sense of a sacrifice in becoming the new king, because they can never leave. Feywul was described very, very early on by the Crystal Exarch as an extremely curious pixie, that so curious that they ended up in the Crystarium, and that's how the friendship started. Feywul was sacrificing that opportunity of freedom and being able to discover for you know, her sapling. And it's just really sad.
Her beloved sapling.
Got me, I was thinking about
but,
it.
But not too much, because I remember like you actually talked to her later.
No, it wasn't bad, but it was like, yeah.
But yeah, you're like, well, how are you going to still get my stuff from the source? And she's like, oh, that's fine. I can actually like take a part of myself. I can still be here, but I'm taking a part of myself and I'm sending it there.
Yeah, and it's just like, we get a grasp for how much magic these fairies have. For her to be trapped in that castle still, but yet
still
keep an eye on you and visit the first and the source. It's just like, oh.
That's a little bit nuts.
Yeah, that's crazy, especially for
she OP.
A Sin Eater had that much power? Oh, geez. Mm. It could have went bad fast.
Yeah, there's a reason why they sealed Titania inside the castle.
They had to. There was no way.
Fortunately, she does come out and help us out with our little predicament with Ranjit, though. Because he shows up with his crew, like, trying to roll up on us, like, hey, we're gonna dunk on you a little bit. And it's like, actually, I don't think so.
I have to admit one thing about that before she starts rolling in, is Ranjit is just sitting there in his little monk pose, you know, just standing. And he's just like, I'm tired of these games. Puts his hand out and grabs a fairy and pulls her.
Oh, that freaked me out.
And he starts squeezing her, and it's like, no, don't do that. That's a living human being you got in your grasp. And I think you're aware of that, which makes it even worse.
Like previously, how we pointed out that he knew exactly where we were standing, even though we were cloaked. It's just the same thing here. Just monk grabs sense. That fairy and just like, okay, I'm done with your games. Sorry, I didn't mean to slam the desk. Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the fae are not done with him, which is good, because it's just like, you know what? Get out of my face. Leave me alone. Stop being obsessed. Like, you can leave now. Ilmeg is done with your crap.
Yep. And the darkness returns, and then he's like, oh, great. There's no point in being here now.
There's no point in being here.
Well,
yep, we lost.
Time to move on to the next one.
I like how the area looks a lot better once darkness is restored, because it's not as bright. It's not quite as blinding. It doesn't hurt your eyeballs quite as much, and you can really see how pretty it is and how much color there is and how well it all kind of intermingles. Like, it's a beautiful area once night has been restored.
Like, readjust your color settings.
Yes. Like, for a reference here, if you have a chance to go there at night, if you don't come out of that cutscene at night, go back there at night on a clear day, look at the castle from anywhere, and you just are presented with this beautiful, you've got all the stars in the sky, you've got the fairy wings emanating glow, and it's just like, yes.
You're going to take a million screenshots.
Along with the night music, it's just, it's very, very relaxing.
It's so good.
I'm not going to admit this, but I have like probably 10 gigs worth of photos just of Ilmeg after after that.
Okay, but everybody does. Everybody does. It's a secret sin of everybody. We're all sinners here.
Mm-hmm. Like running around, just taking pictures of everywhere from the fallen church up north, I believe. I'm trying to remember the map because I got all backwards, all the way to underwater. Like they did a really good job making this place look beautiful in and out. So, but I think we're gonna have to cut it here because I think we're actually over time, guys. So,
I mean, it's a good place to stop, you know, finishing Ilmeg and showing Bug back up the Crystarium. So, I think started off with our most esteemed and wonderful Emmett Selk.
Oh my god, granddad,
grandpappy.
So. Oh man, Emmett's
Grandpappy Emmett.
So thank you guys for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. Dylan, Korotoan, and Key, thank you guys for coming back.
Yep.
You didn't want me back. It's okay. I came back anyway.
This is all part of my community service, so I have to be here.
We're here against our will, guys. We're being held captive. Send help.
But like if you're not here, who's going to keep Minfilia in line?
Oh, and who's going to throw all that shade? Yeah, I guess it's fair point.
So, I don't know if you guys actually heard. We have a Twitter now, too.
Oh, yes. Send us some of them tweets. Yeah.
Send us tweets. Send us recommendations. Hey, you can even actually join us on the chatter. I'm not sure what we're going to chat about yet, but Croton is actually going to be heading the helm there. So, you'll be catching him there.
We got some stuff in the works. We'd love to hear from you guys on your opinions on some upcoming projects. So, follow the Twitter. Stay tuned.
And on top of that, we're also going to be doing some experimental podcasts here very soon. So we'll look forward to that.
Yes.
So, but until then, guys, thank you for listening. And we wish you all a wonderful eve.
Goodbye.
Bye.
See ya.
Aetherstream is part of Aetherflow Media, a community-based project with a focus on Final Fantasy XIV. Aside from this podcast, we produce web content and our magazine, Aetherflow. And if you like what you see and hear, consider joining our Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/aetherflowmedia. All funds go towards providing you with the best possible content that we can create.